Hello and welcome to Diane's Kamikaze Fun Machine, the podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze. This is the reboot of my podcast presence. The first 138 episodes were tied in with Diane's Kamikaze Fun Machine as they were all guests who appeared on the program. I am currently on the air on WFMU's Rock and Soul radio stream, Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m., and I don't include interviews in that program. So these are special pieces that I'm bringing to you because they're fun, funny, weird, or important. I love having fun and having people share their experiences. I'm a rocker for life and I'm a retired tattoo artist. This series, you may hear more art personalities, in addition to chats about music, and who knows what else. All right, check it out, and thanks for listening. Today is a twofer, or something like that. The band is Sodom. We'll be starting off with the interview that I did with Tom Angel Ripper after the Genesis 19 record came out from them, which was 2020. And then we'll also hear from Frank Blackfire, who I got to talk to on this year's 70,000 Tons of Metal cruise that took place in February. Tom and I do talk about the Genesis 19 record and the personnel changes from that at length. And they have a new EP called 1982 that came out in 2023 as well. So don't get thrown off by my timeline. Genesis 19 is the 19th studio album from them. Be sure to check the show notes for related links. Thanks to everybody organizing the 70,000 Tons of Metal cruise. It's quite a job to get in there and do interviews while there's 120 gigs happening. I interviewed Tom in 2020.
You know that Husky left the band in 2019, you know, and I got a phone call and he wanted to talk to me because he told me that he don't have enough time to play in two bands, you know. Husky is also playing in a death metal band called S-Fix, and he told me he can give everything for Sodom. He has also a full-time job in a booking agency, and he got married last year. So we have to find a new drummer. Frank Blackfire came up with the idea to take Tony Merkel, which was also the drummer of Frank Blackfire's solo album a couple of years ago. And then I get in contact to Tony, and we did some rehearsing sessions, and we were so satisfied, you know, with the drumming and everything. Yes, and then was Tony in the band. Then we start rehearsing the set list for the upcoming shows. But, you know, all the shows get canceled and postponed because of the corona crisis here in Germany, worldwide, I think. And then we start writing the songs. We had enough time. We spent the time for arranging songs, writing songs. So we had rehearsing sessions two or three times a week, so we could spend the time doing the songs.
So for the track listing, was Husky on the EP?
Yeah.
On the he was. So then on the on the LP, is Husky's version on Genesis 19?
No, it's completely re-recorded. So we want to have the same sound, you know. So we recorded everything, including Genesis 19, completely new recording in our rehearsal room with a computer, and then we start mixing it in a professional studio. That was my dream, going back to a professional studio with an analog desk with an engineer. So we mixed the whole album in Ziggy Bem's Woodhouse studio, which is Ziggy Bem is a very old producer. That makes the sound a little bit more 80s style, you know, a little bit, I can't explain, it sounds better. If you take your digital files and going back to the studio and put it on an analog desk, you know, there is a special effect. But it's completely re-recorded and it's a little bit rearranged if you listen exactly to the songs.
So then Tony's on that recording?
Yes, Tony is on completely.
Got it. Yeah, I think it's a warmer recording. I think that that's what you're pointing to, maybe, just in terms
yeah,
of what's
going on. Yeah, it sounds warmer. It sounds more analog. You can't explain, you know. I'm always listening to the bands from the 80s, you know. If you listen to old Kiss or Venom records, the drums are bigger, you know. Guitar sounds are better, you know. But nowadays, all the bands use Kemper amplification, or they use going to use plugins in a computer. You're recording the drums with Pro Tools, whatever. All the bands have the same drum sound, so I don't want. I want a special Sodom sound. I like the older Venom recordings. Sounds better, you know, and that's what we try to do in the studio. You know?
What was your experience then, like going back? Because if I'm not mistaken, adding York and then taking on Frank and York together, I guess, that's the first time that Sodom's been a four-piece, right?
Yeah, you know, we started the four-piece with Partisan EP, you know, in 2018. I always came up with the idea, also when Bernmann still played in a band, you know, I asked him for try to do it with the second guitarist, and he told me he never accept the second guitarist by his side, you know. When Bernmann and Maka left the band, I was free to take a second one, and we had a 35 anniversary show in Bochum with all the ex-members on the stage. And then I saw Frank Blackfire playing a couple of songs. That was amazing because Frank never changed, you know. He's the same guy like in the 80s. You're going to play the same guitarist sometimes. And then we start rehearsing songs like Agent Orange or Nuclear Winter, you know, and Frank has exactly the same sound on the guitars, you know. I was so impressed of it, you know. And York is somebody I know. York was a backliner in my band Uncle Tom for a couple of shows, and I know that he's playing guitars. And a friend of mine told me that he's a brilliant guitarist, and I got him in a band. But these guitarists are completely different, you know. Frank is more influenced by rock guitarists like Frank Marine or Rory Gallagher and stuff like this. Also metal fan. And York is a metalhead. He has the biggest metal collection I've ever seen, you know. Black metal and death metal, crust punk, you know. And these two guys write completely different songs. And if you listen to the album, you will realize that there are songs coming from Frank and also from York, completely different songs. This album's so colorful, you know, if you listen to songs like Occult Perpetrator, for example, you know, there is some rock parts in it, you know, which I like. So long, we can do what we want, you know. If it's a good song, I'm going to do it.
Is that your vocal in the very beginning of Occult Perpetrator?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, I can change my vocals. So I can do it like screaming like Tom Araya. I can do like Kronos shouting, you know, or Lemmy. That is not a thing, you know.
It sounded just slightly different. I looked on the credits. I didn't see anybody else credited. So you are very versatile.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about second guitars. You know, we had a couple of live shows last year. We did a tour with Exodus and Death Angel. Two guitarists on the stage. You get a better sound. We are able to put songs to the set list we never played before because you need a second guitarist. My bass guitar cannot replace a second guitar. Oh, it's brilliant. So long getting a second guitarist on the band, you know. You know, I like the three-piece bands like the old Motorhead and old Venom, you know. I was a little bit disappointed when Motorhead got a second guitarist in the band. They did great music, you know, and that is the most important thing. You know?
I felt the same way.
Wurzel was the best replacement for Eddie Clarke, you know, in my opinion.
Sodom has just been so consistent for years, for decades. Even if you're the only standard one all the way through from 1984, it's like there's a certain level of consistency and quality and song character. Do you just trust your guitarists, or do you really guide them, or something else?
I have to trust them because these two guys, you know, they know exactly what is the meaning behind this band. Guitarists like York is also really interested in the history of Sodom. Or our drummer, Tony, he told me that he is a big fan of Chris Wichard's drumming, you know. I cannot replace somebody like Chris Wichard, but I can try, and I can give my best to get the spirit of Chris Wichard back to the new songs, but more technical. So if they came up with guitar riffs I don't like, I don't do it. So I am the one who going to arrange all the guitar riffs because I'm a singer, I have to write the lyrics. I trust them, and now we are like a family, you know. We have a good friendship, you know, and we spent a lot of time together, not only just for making music, just maybe just for drinking or whatever. And that is very important. I have to trust them, yeah.
Is it different for you now, I mean, over the years, that a lot of times the people that join your band are fans, as opposed to when you started, you were really all creating something from nothing?
You know, the fans, no, we never change. Solomon is constantly, we did constantly the same music, you know. But we always try to do better songs, you know, and we know exactly what the Solomon fans want to listen to. Remember also the 90s when a lot of bands get more commercial. They got dictations from record companies getting more commercial, getting more melodic, whatever. And in these hard times, you know, we released the heaviest Solomon albums in the back catalog, like Get What You Deserve from Masquerade in Blood. But we have so many ideas, and as long as we're going to stay creative and healthy and we are able to do the music, we're going to do it. And it's always a lot of fun making music, you know. That's my... That is the main part of my life.
Well, and it seems like, especially in the 90s, a lot of your younger players, I guess I just really wondered if they looked up to you as Tom Angel Ripper, and then like, oh, I'm working with this guy, as opposed to now you more have guys that are closer to your age.
Yeah, Andy Brinks, for example, he was 20 years old when he joined the band, you know.
Yes, very
young. And he said, oh, I'm the youngest in the band, you know, and no, it's the same like York, you know. When we did the first rehearsing session with York, he was so scared about, you know.
Oh.
You don't have to be scared. I'm just a little bit older, yeah, the only difference. But we are both a metal fans, metalheads. We want to make music. That's the only difference, you know. That is not a problem, you know. I know that York and Tony are younger, Frank. It's the same age like mine, or a little bit younger than me, you know, but that is not a problem. We always know, we always have the same direction to do the music, and we know that we have a big future for the next years, you know. So we talk about everything. So I think it's a really democratic band. We talk about everything, but in the end, I have to take some decisions, what we're going to do or not, you know.
I think it has to have been a democratic band to last as long as it has.
Yeah, I always try to keep a lineup so long together as possible. But sometimes I have to make a decision, you know. I have to kick somebody out or not. The main project is the band name, you know, and we have to keep on going forward. But now when we start writing songs, we talk about the songs. What we're going to do, is it a good song or not, you know. So in the end, we want to make a brilliant album, you know. That is the main point, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you still live in the same town? Like
yes,
a mining town?
You know, it's my hometown. I know I don't want to leave here, you know. I have my friends here, my family and everything.
I know. You're very consistent in many areas of your life, and that's one of them, and Sodom is another. Like, you put out quality product all the time. I appreciate how you have a standard for the band, and there's always some very strong, very heavy thread through there, even if you've had however many guitar players through the years. It's remarkable. It's really great. You have a wonderful legacy, and you are a gift to metal.
People were a little bit scared, you know, when Bannerman was played in the band for 20 years. They were scared. He kicked Bannerman out of the band. We'll see what they're going to do on the next album. I think Decision, it was a wonderful album, you know. You know, but the new one is different. Don't want to have Decision Day Part 2 or whatever, you know. The new album is completely different, but also good songs, you know. That's the main thing. It doesn't matter who got to play guitar.
Yeah. You are the quality control person in Sodom, so you're the visionary. Not in the biblical sense, but just the world trusts you to put out a great Sodom record, to put out the next Sodom record, and to know what has to go into it.
Oh, yeah. I always give the best, you know, I can, you know.
I mean, it is amazing that a lot of times you take people that nobody really knows and then you introduce them to the world, and they're great.
You know, when I change the lineup, you have to restart from the beginning. Really a lot of work, you know. If you get a new drummer or a new guitarist, you have to start doing the set list, you know. I cannot write down a set list. I have to rehearse. I want to keep it forward. I will keep this lineup together as long as possible, you know, all the time, you know.
I really appreciate throughout the years all the bands that you've covered, and that's not always a thing in metal. I just wanted to know, so you must appreciate a whole lot of music. What is your favorite Sodom cover? What's your favorite version of a cover song that you've done?
I don't know. I think that we did a Metallica cover, you know, a couple of years ago. The Struggle Within was pretty nice. But we also did a brand new cover song in the recording session. It's Venom, Leave Me in Hell.
But this song
is not on the album, you know. This song will be exclusively on a Rockart magazine in Germany. And they're going to do a title story, and they want to have a special bonus CD with unreleased Sodom material, you know. They will find a brand new Sodom song and also the cover song from Venom, you know, because Venom is my all-time favorite band. It's so funny to cover a song from this black metal album, you know, which I really love so much. It's not an official release, but I think you're going to find it in YouTube later when the Rockart magazine will come out, you know.
Didn't you do a project with Abaddon?
That was in the 90s, yeah. Yeah, we did, there was a tribute to Venom sampler. That was the first one, which released at Gun Records, you know. And then we did some rehearsing sessions with Abaddon in my rehearsal room back to the 94 or something like this. So that was really funny. And I've seen contact to him, you know, with Facebook and Instagram stuff. But I'm still a Kronos fan, you know. I like his vocals and bass playing. It doesn't matter who's going to play the drums or guitars, you know. Kronos is a band. Venom Incorporation, they did brilliant songs, you know. Mantis on the guitars is a brilliant songwriter and guitarist. I enjoy both bands, you know.
We're talking to Frank Blackfire from Sodom.
Hi, everybody. The question was, how did you really get into heavy metal music? I started around, let's say like this. My father got me into rock and roll music, actually. I was like 6 years old, and my father had the old singles, and he had a triple album, the Rock and Roll Super Show, something like that. And there was like Little Richard, Carl Perkins, and old rock and roll. And my father was really into that, and he played it to me. And I was like, wow, we will listen to it over and over until my mother got crazy with that, you know. That was like kind of like the first experience I have with rock and roll. So I started listening to rock and roll and then hard rock. And I was really getting into it when I was like 12, 13 years old, listening to hard rock like AC/DC, Rainbow, Deep Purple, and old Scorpions. And yeah, that was at the time when heavy metal came up. Like heavy metal wasn't even born yet, the new wave of British heavy metal scene, you know. And then, from AC/DC, I was a fucking crazy AC/DC fan back then. I got into bands like Saxon, Judas Priest, a little Maiden too, and Motorhead. Yeah, Saxon was a big influence for me. I really loved what they did on Wheels of Steel, Strong Arm of the Law. And Judas Priest, British Steel, really brought me into heavy metal too. I guess that was kind of like the beginning, or like the new wave of British heavy metal scene, you know.
So you were right along with it.
Yeah, rock and roll and older music to hard rock, and then into heavy metal and fast thrash metal stuff like this. I was really into normal heavy metal like Judas Priest, Saxon, bands like this, classic heavy metal. And then I met Sodom, and we got along, and they wanted me as a guitar player. And I was playing in a cover band before, like I had to learn the fucking fast stuff, you know.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So I got into it like a couple of months. Tommy was giving me Hello Waits from Slayer. That was a big influence too, you know. And I was like, wow, I have to create something my style with a little the Hello Waits influence with the Sodom style. And I mixed it all up, and it came out like the Express of Sodomy maxi single was the first recording I did with Sodom. And then continued with Persecution Mania and Agent Orange.
When did you start playing guitar?
I started it around when I was like 14, 15. That was in 1980, when I was at the show AC/DC, Back in Black. They played in my hometown, and I seen the Hellspell Super Show. It was fucking blowing me away, and I was like, I have to do something like this. I want to go on stage. I want to be like this guy playing guitar. And I was really into it. I need a guitar. I need an electric guitar. I didn't want to start with acoustic guitar. I wanted electric guitar, and I wanted to do something like AC/DC, you know. And I begged my mother, "Mother, please." It was right before Christmas, and please buy me a guitar. So that's how it started. I had that guitar, and it felt so great, that fucking guitar I had. I was practicing every day, hours and hours and hours, and tried to, yeah, play that music, like hard rock, like AC/DC songs. I tried something, and everything that guitars can play, like mostly heavy stuff, I tried on guitar, you know. Try to get some neighbors that played also instruments, like one had a drum kit and the other one had another guitar, you know, and I invited everybody, oh, let's do some music, you know, and that's how it started. Actually, like, with 15 years, I started playing guitar.
Did you ever get into sports?
Yeah, I was really big into sports, into soccer. And I got into soccer when I was, like, as a little kid, like, 6, 7, 8 years. With 8 years, I joined a soccer club near my home, and I played there for 7 years, and I was really into it, you know. And I wanted to be a soccer pro. But actually, when I was, like, 14, I quit soccer because by that time I was getting more into guitar playing, and I stopped soccer, just playing just for fun here and there. Mm-hmm. I was a good soccer player, actually, and if I would have trained more and more, and maybe I would have a professional soccer player. But actually, I got into music and changed. And after that, I rejoined a soccer team just for fun. I was old. I was like 50-something already. And or 50 or 49 or something like this. I said, I want to go back to play a little soccer, you know. And it was fun, though. Mm-hmm. It kept me in shape and everything, and it was cool, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. As a guitar player in the world of metal, do you compare notes with other guitar players?
Yeah, I think so. When guitar players talk about equipment and guitars, especially, or what kind of amps they use, what kind of effects and stuff. Yeah, there's always a little small talk between guitar players, mm-hmm. and they tell you their experience, and I tell them mine, and there's always something mm-hmm. talking like this, you know.
So what's the next guitar for you?
The next guitar is a Flying V. It's a special made for me. It's kind of like a custom made guitar from a friend from Austria. He's building some really beautiful guitars with exotic woods and stuff. And he's building me a Flying V with a Floyd Rose and everything. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Nice.
I got into Flying Vs last year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was never really into Flying Vs. I had a Randy Rhodes back then in, what was it, like 89 or something? 88, 89, I bought a Randy Rhodes. But the shape back then, I wasn't really into the shape, you know. And I couldn't. I'm a Strat player, actually.
Okay.
And then over the years, I bought Les Pauls. I was into Les Pauls for a while. I was into SG too. And right now, and then I bought Explorer too. And right now it's Flying V, you know. I got back to Flying V somehow. It's a great shape and it fits to metal, you know, like no other guitar. Or
yes.
Maybe the Explorer, and it's a great guitar.
Awesome. Any New Year's resolutions this year?
Any what?
New Year's resolutions. Did you take on anything for the year?
For me personally?
Yeah.
Oh, not really. I don't make those things. I mean, yeah, sure. I want to always get better as a person and as a guitar player too. You're always learning. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a natural process, you know. I don't make it up because of the end of the year or upcoming New Year. I'm always like this, you know, always trying to progress somehow and with the band too, you know, we are into like writing new music for new album and stuff like that. Yeah, music is my life and I love it and it's the magic, you know.
It is. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you very
You're
much.
Welcome.
And there you have it. Thank you to Tom Angel Ripper and Frank Blackfire of Sodom. Thank you to the members of the 70,000 Tons of Metal crew, the PR Brigade, for making the interviews happen. And thank you to you, the listener. Thank you for supporting WFMU. We just recently made our goal for our annual fundraising marathon. WFMU is listener supported, not underwritten, not corporate sponsored. Amen to that. And that concludes another episode. Thank you for tuning in. More on the way. My Instagram handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. Follow me there. The full link to my index of shows can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. So that's playlists, plural, and then the DK is both uppercase, capital letters. I am working on encore presentations. I've got years of interviews and podcasts. If there's something you'd like to see reposted, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, review it. Thank you. Diane's Kamikaze Fun Machine radio show can be heard on the WFMU Rock and Soul radio stream. That is New York time, 9 a.m. on Wednesdays. Thank you, thank you. See you next time. Always have fun. Self-expression is vital. Do it.